It's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. Thanks for joining us this morning. A little bit later on today, we're going to talk Caldwell County High School Athletics with CCHS Athletic Director Jeff Riley. He'll be in the studio with us. But right now, on the phone line, we've got Dave Winder from Murray State University. And Dave, good morning. Thanks for coming back on the show this week.
Always good to be on with you, Todd. I hope everybody's well there in Caldwell County.
Oh, yeah, it's a great day here, and hopefully a great day in Murray, and got lots of time here to talk Murray State Athletics.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what do you want to hit on first?
Well, big news this week. You know, you've got the new Murray State Athletics Hall of Fame class for 2023 being announced. That's kind of the big news of the week.
Yeah, I think it is too, Todd, and I've gotten so many comments just on my social media, RacerDave23 on Twitter, that this is one of the strongest classes we've ever had. And I'll just run through those very quickly for you. By the way, this is the 41st class of the Murray State Hall of Fame to be honored the week of November 17th and 18th. And this group spans 47 years from 1976 to 2018. So start with Squeaky Yarborough, a guy who was a defensive back and a champion hurdler at Murray State when I was in school from 82 to 85. He lives in Dallas, and he's going into the Hall of Fame. Over 20 years service to the Dallas County Sheriff's Department, and he also runs a Boys and Girls Club for several years in Dallas. Squeaky's a great guy. His first name's James, by the way, and everybody called him Squeaky back in school for some reason. Nathan Williams is a Murray native who now lives in St. Louis. He was a linebacker for the Racers from 2003 to 2008, and in 2008 was the OVC Defensive Player of the Year, and had a cup of coffee with a few pro teams in the NFL for a while. Now, Nathan is famous because if you look at that 2003 to 2008, he was actually in school 6 years, which is a rare thing. But he got two medical waivers from the NCAA because it was in 2004, he suffered a broken hip and lost the whole 2004 season. And then in 2007, I was on the sideline at Louisville when he blew out his knee on the first defensive series of the game. So 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So it's 2003 to 2008. And his last year was pretty incredible. Defensive Player of the Year in the OVC. He was a Walter Camp All-America pick, and he was just the second racer to be a finalist for the Buck Buchanan Award nationally. And he also led the OVC in tackles. So Nathan is going in. He runs his own training facility, personal training facility in St. Louis. And then you go to Harriet Withers from Sydney, Australia, Murray State's all-time leading goal scorer in soccer. She was here from 2014 to 17. She's the only racer to have her number retired. She's coming back. Kashana James from Jackson, Tennessee. She's still playing professionally in Europe. And she is still Murray State's second all-time leading scorer. She was the 2017 OVC Player of the Year. From men's basketball, Jonathan Stark, who is still playing professionally in France. He is Murray State's fastest to 1,000 points. He did it in just 48 games. And he's the all-time two-year scorer in program history with over 1,400 points. Not often do two-year players get into the Murray State Hall of Fame. But when you're as good as he was, he's able to join people like Cameron Payne and DT Mays as the only two-year players in our Hall of Fame. And then Cameron Carrico, who is an Owensboro native, still lives over that way. He was Murray State's only four-time All-OVC men's golf selection. He was the 2011 Player of the Year. He was part of Murray State's last golf championship in 2010, and he's the third Hall of Famer from that team now, joining the Newcomb brothers, Nick and Patrick, from Benton, Kentucky. And Carrico's 2010-11 season is still Murray State's lowest scoring average in program history, 71.2. And he also owns the Murray State career scoring average at 72.6. And then finally, our legacy pick for this class of seven is Robin Courtney, who is part of that rich baseball tradition of Southern Indiana. He's from Evansville. He coached high school over there for many, many years. He's in the Greater Evansville Baseball Hall of Fame. And he was a four-time All-OVC selection for Coach Johnny Reagan and Murray State from 1976 to 79. Also part of that period of time, which was the only four-year consecutive streak in which Murray State baseball had 30 wins each season. He was part of that as well. So it's a big, big class, and you know, I just want to congratulate the committee that I'm privileged to lead. Just a bunch of great people who care about Murray State and understand that honoring our greats year after year after year is very important to Murray State University and, of course, the athletics department.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't seem like it's been that long since we saw Jonathan Stark on the court for the Racers.
Yeah, it was 17-18. If you remember, he was with Ja Morant and Terrell Miller that 17-18 season, in which I felt like then that when they beat Belmont in the championship game at Evansville at the Ford Center, that somehow, in some ways, kind of broke the spell that Belmont had over the Racers. And, you know, he was very, very good, and now he's playing great. He's at the highest level of basketball in France. His team just went to the finals. Matter of fact, if you look on his Twitter for Jonathan Stark, he hit a buzzer beater in game two. It was just incredible. But, yeah, so great to get Jonathan in there.
Yeah, so the Hall of Fame class just announced this week, so that is probably the big news of the week sports-wise for you guys.
It is, but then we've also got competition still going on. You know, this time of year, Todd, you're either playing softball, baseball, or running track and field. And I'll get to our baseball finish in just a moment. But I want folks to just take a look at the NCAA track and field finals that are going on in Austin, Texas this week. We have Kayla Bell in the 800 meters. And Kayla is from Linwood, Illinois, up in the northern part of the state. She has been the best 800-meter runner in the Missouri Valley Conference this year. She broke the Murray State school record, I think was 40 years old. And she's going to compete at 9:14. I think that's tonight. I'm looking at the story here. I can't really tell. I think it's tonight or tomorrow night. And then Megan Fletcher is also one of those that have done very, very, very well. She has the Murray State record for the high jump, and she has done just some outstanding stuff as well. She's another young lady that's from the upper part of Illinois, from Grays Lake, Illinois, and these two have just been incredible. So they're gonna compete this weekend in the 800 meters and in the high jump, and I think Fletcher, her competition is on Saturday. So just really happy with the way our women's track and field program's going. They finished second in the Missouri Valley indoors and second in the outdoors, so they did great.
Yeah, it sounds like a great year there. And how did all the other spring sports end up for you guys?
Well, I had a great time going to my first Missouri Valley baseball tournament 2 weeks ago in Terre Haute. And, of course, the Sycamores, they got to host the Missouri Valley tournament, then they won it. Then they got to host the regional, and now this weekend they're playing the super regional at TCU. I think game one is tomorrow night down there. But Indiana State did a great job of hosting the event, and they were great hosts. It was a wonderful event. And to have the Racers come out and win their first two games in Terre Haute was incredible. The Valparaiso game on May 23rd, Murray State was down 4-0, but then came back to win 11-6. And then the next night, they faced the top offense in the Missouri Valley in Missouri State. And Cade Vernon, who is a guy from Bowling Green, Kentucky, tossed his career best game, 7 shutout innings against the Bears. And Murray State won it 6-1. So So there they were, 2-0, and they then lost 2 one-run games to get bounced out of the tournament. So close to really doing something special. They came back the next day and lost to Evansville 3-2, and then had to face Missouri State again and lost 4-3. But Dan Skirka's team now has 3 consecutive 30-win seasons. When I was talking about the Hall of Fame a minute ago, those late 70s there, they had 4 straight years of 30-plus wins or more. So that's what Coach Dan Skirka and the Racers have done in their first year in the Missouri Valley baseball. They were picked 8th, Todd, in the preseason and finished 5th. And then in the tournament here, they were the 5th seed and were 2-0 and sitting in a great spot. But you know how baseball is. Sometimes you can win some close games and sometimes you can't.
Oh, for sure. You never know which way some of those one-run games are going to go.
It's just such a fine line between winning and losing. And really, Todd, the Racers went from one of the lower conferences in NCAA Division I baseball in the OVC to the number 11 conference with the Missouri Valley. So the competition really stepped up. And we've seen that across the board in all of our sports. There's so many good players and good teams and good coaches in the Missouri Valley that the margin for winning and losing is really thin.
Well, you guys have basically had one full school year now in the Missouri Valley Conference. What are kind of your thoughts on the league now after one trip around the schedule?
I felt like the school year probably exceeded my expectations. I thought some of our teams might struggle in it. One of the ones I was really worried about was baseball. And Dan Skirka has done a great job. He had I couldn't point to any one time where I felt like the team was, defeated. And I don't want to say giving up, but just defeated and not having much life. I never felt like there was one time during this spring season that was occurring. And then Kara Amundsen's team with softball, they had a chance with about 2 weeks to go to win the thing. But they finished 4th and were the 4th seed. They were 33-21 and had arguably the two of the top, say, 5 pitchers in the Missouri Valley. They did well. I already mentioned track and field. Women's golf, Peyton Carter, her game translated very well to Missouri Valley competition. She was the Valley Women's Golfer of the Year, and she probably should have won the championship. She had a 2-shot lead with 2 holes to go and made a double bogey, got into a playoff and lost. And then the women's team finished in the top 3. And then the Murray State men, Trey Lewis, who's from Beaver Dam, Ohio County, he finished 3rd in that too. So in the spring here, we did some things. And then you back up to basketball. I felt like the Murray State men's and women's basketball teams, they took their lumps about as well as they gave them. And that's certainly two teams that's going to grow into 2 very competitive leagues as we go. And then last fall, Murray State women's soccer made it to the championship game of the Valley Tournament before their season ended. And volleyball was very young, and I think they're going to get better as they go too. So, overall, from the all-sports trophy standings, the Racers were 8th. But number 4 through 8 was separated by just very little. So I felt like the first school year with the Racers in the Valley, I think we gained a lot of respect across the board for being a school that's going to produce some pretty good teams.
Now, at what point do you start getting ready for the next fall season?
Oh, that's already underway, Todd. I just finished my men's basketball record book, updating it last night, and now I'm kind of reworking the football record book, trying to add some things to it. So the work never ends. As soon as say those fall seasons are done, like soccer and volleyball, a lot of that stuff's already in place. And there's a lot of work that we do in the summer on GoRacers.com. You'll see rosters being updated and rolled over to the next season. You'll see schedules begin to come out here. And it's just kind of a cycle of athletics. And in between now and the end of July, try to get a little time off for some vacation too.
Yeah. Sounds like fun times in the Missouri Valley Conference, though.
Yeah, I've met so many wonderful people. I was telling Mike Kern, who is the communications director for the Valley, and Jack Watkins, who's the TV guru, that everybody has been so welcoming from every school in the Valley that I feel like I've been working with these people for years and years and years. So we're in a good place. I still miss my colleagues from the OVC, but you know, it's onward for the racers, and I'm just really looking forward to seeing how our AD Nick Oyanko is going to lead us, and we're going to keep growing into this this new challenge.
We're talking this morning with Dave Winder from Murray State University, and Dave, this is usually the part of the show where I ask you about the St. Louis Cardinals, but do we want to just skip that this week? Or
no, that would be wrong, Todd. We do need to discuss this. And I'm glad they got a win last night.
Yes, they are 1-0 in the last day.
I mean, it took an incredible game from Jack Flaherty to get it. Alec Burleson had a homer in the top of the eighth. That was the Cardinals' first win in June. They were 0-5, and I think now they're 11 games under 500 as we talk here on June 8th, 2023. They are the only team in the National League Central I was looking at this morning that has a positive run differential. The Brewers, the Pirates, the Reds, and the Cubs are all under, but yet they lead the Cardinals. And again, I just look back, Todd, I'm always the optimist. There's a lot of baseball left. You got over 100 games left, and a lot can happen. But they've just got to start pitching better and hitting better. I mean, that's very simplistic, I know, but and they've got to become a team. I'm just seeing a lot of, like the other night, Jordan Walker hit a home run, and Bernie Miklesk, the great writer from St. Louis, observed that there was nothing from the dugout when he cranked that home run. So those guys have got to figure out how they can become a team and figure this thing out, because they've got that dreaded disease, Todd. You know what it is?
Now, what's that?
It's in baseball, we call it the disease of when you hit, you can't pitch, and when pitch, you can't.
Yeah.
You know, Wilson Contreras is one of the top batters in the big leagues of contact rate. He hits a lot of balls hard. They're just not finding the holes. And, you know, somewhere along the line, these guys are going to start hitting. They didn't get to the big leagues because they couldn't hit. And, you know, you just need to start putting things together. They didn't get this way, 11 games under 500 in a week. It's been going on since April. We're 2 months into it, and they won't get out of it quickly. But right now, I think the goal is start playing better, start winning some games, and then if you can get to the 500 mark, then you could start talking about maybe winning the division.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a spark.
But really, that's going to be their only chance, because I think they're so far behind now in the wild card area that they're going to have to win the division.
Well, Dave, as always, appreciate you coming on, and look forward to you coming on again before too long, and we'll start talking about football and all the fall sports.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you have a great summer, Todd. Look forward to talking with you again sometime.
All right. You too, Dave. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That's Dave Winder from Murray State University. Appreciate him taking some time and talking racer athletics with us. We need to get to a timeout on the show, but we'll talk with Jeff Riley, Caldwell County High School Athletic Director. When we come back, stay with us on the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Hello, this is Brad Harrelson with First Southern National Bank. There is little doubt that many are facing financial hardships in our country today. The statistics can be startling to look at, with as many as 70% of Americans having less than $1,000 saved for emergencies. While it can be easy to point fingers, the truth of the matter is that many folks lack the basic financial knowledge to avoid these pitfalls. To meet this need, First Southern has provided financial literacy resources so that the people of our communities can be better equipped to face the financial challenges life throws their way. We invite you to explore the Financial Literacy Resource Center at fsmb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
What are we going to do? Doctor, will he be okay?
Unexpected happens. Goodwin Insurance Agency has you covered with auto, home, life, commercial, boat, and RV insurance. That way, when the unexpected happens...
Congratulations, it's a girl.
You're covered.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
At Tricios, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricios in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit tricios.com. That's tricios.com.
He leaves the house. It's dark, and it'll be dark when he gets home. Time is money, and his time is spent making money to support his family. So when it's time to eat lunch, he stays on the job site with his two sandwiches featuring jalapeno hot pepper cheese from the delightfully delicious deli. Nobody has the freshness, the selection, and the cut-to-order attitude that Hancock's Deli has. Hancock's, we make time for you.
The WPKY 2023 Princeton Optimist Kiwanis Club Radio Auction.
Part of our radio auction each year is raising funds for the West York Scholarship Fund.
You have to be a business to donate.
You could be a good old goat, a silver goat, or a golden goat, and you can still do that. And every bit that comes in cash donations goes to our scholarship fund.
Contact a Princeton Optimist or Kiwanis Club member today for more information on how you can help support the youth in our community.
The scholarship is being coordinated through the Career Center, the vocational school.
Just to get them sparked to where they can go get an education and get a job in some line that interests them.
Donations and items accepted now.
The community is back in this. The community is getting to be a part of it.
Join together June 5th through the 9th at Princeton First Baptist Church Christian Life Center in downtown Princeton.
Contact any Optimist member at 270-625-3427 or check out our Facebook page. We will be glad to respond and get back with
you. For more information, visit our website at WPKYonline.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY, and we do appreciate you tuning in this morning. Once again, thanks to Dave Winder, the Murray State Associate AD for Media, for coming on the show this morning. We've got Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley in the studio with us this morning, and we'll talk to him right after this quick break. You're listening to the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Stallings Auto Sales has an excellent reputation for providing quality cars at great prices. Stop by 1944 West 7th Street, Hopkinsville today. Stallings Auto Sales, your trusted source for used cars.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, an overnight low of 55, partly cloudy skies. By this afternoon, it's going to be sunny with a high near 81. Thursday night, mostly clear skies, low around 52. And then on Friday, sunny skies, high of 82. And Friday night, clear skies, low around 54. But back to right now, an overnight low of 55 degrees. And by this afternoon, sunny and a beautiful 81.
At Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion, Kentucky, you're treated like family, because to them, family is everything. Johnson's has the reputation of helping customers with brands you can count on, like GE Appliances. Shop their selection of GE Appliances with premium finishes and features that make household chores easier, giving you time to do what matters. Bring home the long-lasting quality of GE Appliances today. Trust Johnson's for furniture, bedding, and appliances, because you're like family, and family is everything.
For a limited time, take advantage of savings on select new Case IH disc mower conditioners and balers with no money down, no interest for 60 months. With easy operation, Case IH hay tools deliver the flexibility and durability your operation demands. Hurry in. Offer ends June 30th, 2023. Stop by H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville, Kentucky today and set yourself up for greater productivity in 2023 with a great deal on the hay tools that work as hard as you do.
Life is busy. We get it. That's why at First Southern National Bank, we are launching a new experience for customers. Our drive-thrus are being replaced with full-access banking lanes that utilize new technology to give you greater convenience. You can now do almost everything you could do inside the bank or at the ATM, all from your car. Tellers are available via video to assist you if needed, and bank services now have extended hours. Learn more at fsnb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks a lot for joining us this morning. As promised, Kaawa County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley in the studio with us now. And Jeff, thanks for coming in this morning and being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Just a pleasure to come in and talk to you, Todd. Yeah.
One school year is just completed, but another one is quickly on the horizon.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a break, but it doesn't really feel like much. So all of our fall sports have kind of got on the field and getting prepped for starting next year. We've got kind of some non-mandatory things going on. So as soon as the spring's over, the fall begins, yeah. getting their work in.
Well, the big news for you guys and I guess a search for a new girls basketball coach is ongoing.
It is ongoing. I've been encouraged. I think we've had a couple new applicants in the last couple of days, so I can't say too much, but I think you know, we've got some promising things on the horizon, so I think in the next few days there'll be a couple interviews and some decisions made. So hopefully for those girls, we'll be in time to, you know, for them to get a little stuff done in the summertime before school starts.
Well, I was going to ask, is there a timetable? And I know that this is kind of a tough time to be looking for a basketball head coach because a lot of teams are out playing games right now during the summer.
Yeah, it is. It's not the ideal time, but, you know, sometimes sports calendars and school calendars don't always match up. Yeah. So, you know, when you have educators that are also your coaches and, you know, they take promotions and dominoes fall, it ends up being a tough situation a little bit. So hopefully whoever our coach is will be able to make a decision and get them in enough time to at least get the girls on the floor a little bit in July. Even if they're not playing against competition, they can still work some fundamental yeah. things. And, you know, the ones that aren't playing volleyball or soccer, and he can get in and kind of get he or she can get in and get a good idea about what kind of kids they've got coming back and get a start and get a little bit of a jump start on the winter time.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the process that saw Chuck Mitchell go from being the girls' head coach to the boys' head coach.
Well, I mean, I think as most people know, when Coach McClung took the job at the board office to replace Mr. Brown, who we'll all miss tremendously, and he took that position, which kind of afforded him the opportunity to fill the head coaching football job, and then that opened up the principal's job, and then so Coach Kukuhiko, who was also an assistant principal, you know, felt led to kind of apply for that job. We're fortunate to have him. And then when that opened up the boys' job, and then, you know, Coach Mitchell was just one of five applicants, and, you know, just a guy that was in building that we kind of knew what we were going to get from him. And he had a desire to kind of want to switch to the boys' side of things. And, you know, he's got a lot of experience coaching, and, you know, we kind of felt like he was a guy to kind of fit the personality of our team a little bit. And so we're going to give him that opportunity. And, you know, he's off and running. Those guys have been playing games and getting in the gym. And I hear him getting in there and getting after it a little bit every day. So that's a good thing. And he's got his hands full with the youth camp this week. So, you know, we just hope to get somebody in the girls that kind of has that same energy and, you know, wants to come in and kind of prove himself and, you know, hit the ground running.
And a shout out to Will Brown, who is a former member of the Sports Sox, and we all stick together.
I bet there's a lot of people in this community that says Will Brown's a former member of something here, because he's definitely an invested guy. And, you know, it's guys like Will Brown that make things work. He's going to be mad that we're talking about him, but he's one of those guys that behind the scenes has worked his butt off for our school and our kids. And, you know, he's definitely going to be missed, but we're not going to let him get too far away, because if something comes up, we're going to call him.
You know, I had Chuck on the show last week, and I asked him if he had any desire to coach both teams. And I don't think he was real keen on that idea, but, you know, that has been done a couple of times.
Yeah, well, and, you know, the thing is, I think Chuck would be okay with filling in and helping out, but you don't want to do things that's going to be contrary to what the other coach wants to do. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, he's kind of concentrating on the boys right now, and the girls are there helping with the youth camp, and they're still doing their thing. So he hasn't completely taken his hands off of that program yet. So him and Jordan have done a really good job about filling in, and you know, Coach Gay and his wife are coming in and done some middle school stuff and helping out. So, you know, it's just a little bit of a transition time. So hopefully in the next few days, next, you know, week or so, we can have a girls coach in place, and, you know, they can kind of start implementing their program.
You know, this is supposed to be the off season, but you've got basketball teams playing games. Next month, football will have some stuff going on. What exactly are the rules and regulations on what you can work on over the summer?
Well, the main thing is no fall sport can have a mandatory thing before, like, football can start July 10th. The other ones can't start before July 15th. So a coach can't say, well, if you don't show up in June, you can't play. But we've got good kids, and we've got kids who want to compete, and we've got kids who want to work out and get better. So we all provide those opportunities in June. And then when you get those opportunities, the kids will have vacation, and you cut kids slack, and if they have to go and do, it's a little more laid back because it's not a mandatory thing. So, but you can get good work in. You can take a month off and get good work in. So that's that. I think there's a lot – it's kind of lax as far as, but every sport's going to be different. Like, every sport's got a date, and you can – like, for example, for football, if we have kids go to a football camp, we can't give equipment to if there's going to be more than five kids at a camp. So we had three kids go to UK camp. Yeah. If we had had two more, by rule, we're not supposed to give them high school equipment to use at a camp.
Do they become a team at that point?
Well, that's a KHSAA violation if you do that. So you have to be careful with those things. But for the most part, if you're just working within your team – especially for the fall sports, it's not a big deal as long as you're not going and competing against somebody else. With basketball, of course, their rules are a little different because now they can go and compete, play summer games, and that's beneficial to them. So every sport's got a little bit of different when it comes to limitation of season. So
seems like basketball though mainly sticks with June, and then football takes July. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, a few years ago there was kind of of course, football and basketball were competing for kids during 7-on-7 and stuff like that. And I think from the state level, the coaches kind of got together and, kind of agreed that basketball would compete in June and July would switch to football 7-on-7. So, some of the football coaches would like to have a little more time in June, and some, there's an element of that just to kind of get a little throwing in June. But then it's really just about, in your programs, can you manage your kids, right? So if Coach Mitchell wants to, he's played five games, Monday. They went to Hopkinsville and played a bunch of games. So on Tuesday, you don't want to come bring those basketball kids in and throw 7 or 8 7-on-7 games. So if coaches can work together and manage it, which has always been a good thing here, we've never really had to worry about that here, then it's not a big deal. But you get programs to where the coaches don't get along, and then coaches are putting pressure on kids, and that's not really fair to kids. So it's good to have a little bit of a separation. So on the football side of things, you'd like to have a weekend in June to maybe throw some. But, then you give a weekend in June, or you want to give up something in July, and, just back and forth all the time.
I think some of the older guys from back in the day, though, would be surprised at how many games some of the teams play over the summer, because I think back in the day they used to just bale hay or whatever all summer and then come back for football. But nowadays it seems like, there are teams out there, basketball, that might play 30 games over the summer or more.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a lot. And it can be too much. It depends on your community and program and how many kids you have and what you can get done. And, you have to do something sometimes to try to keep and remain competitive because your competitions are doing something.
Right.
So you kind of feel the pressure to do that a little bit. But then also I think each individual program just has to look and say, hey, this is what's best for our team at this time. And then, I haven't ever been around guys like our guys have always played, maybe 10, 12 games. And, summer games aren't the same as, in-season games.
Yes.
So hopefully we won't get Coach Mitchell to back off his 35-game summer schedule next year.
Well, looking back to the spring sports at Caldwell County, spring sports for Tigers and Lady Tigers really made a strong finish to the sports season for you guys.
Yeah, it was. It was an exciting spring. I think we had a really – the softball team really kind of went on a pretty good run. And, they finished the season really strong. And our baseball team, you kind of look at it and you think, well – they got put out team by a team that's in the Final Four. So
yeah,
that was a little bit shocking to me. Coach Downs and I were talking about that earlier, how we were, we weren't surprised that Henderson's softball team was where they are because they had been that good all year. But we were a little surprised about their baseball team. So they just kind of got on the rough end of a pretty good run that team's got on. And, they competed all year and played their butts off and had a good record. And, I read your article about how the record book has changed. And, they did a lot of good things. So that's they're all on the uptick. Our track teams did really well. We had a bunch of kids go to state, and we had a few more. I think we had a few more than we did last year. And of course, our tennis teams are very competitive, and our boys team's been dominant in the second region, and they went to state and got a couple wins. A couple of those guys did, which is a little bit different than last year. So they're all making good progress. So our spring sports had a very, very solid season.
Yeah, and in track, how cool was it to see Kendall Mahaffey get a first place at state.
Oh yeah, that's
a 100 meter wheelchair competition.
You know, and the great thing about this, that's really been a community supported thing, and the community's really stepped up and helped that young lady out, and she's gotten out. And you know, the really neat thing about that is that we were in the weight room and Cooper Mobley comes in and he's talking about their experience. And one of the kids, I asked him, well, did anybody win state? And he said, yeah. He's like, you know, and you know what? Her times have gotten better. And so yeah. Cooper, who's a you know big football guy and a thrower, he knows how Kendall has progressed as she's gone. So that is really a great thing.
She just missed a state record. So.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't know that. Well, yeah, that's awesome. That's great for her and, you know, allows her to kind of be a part and hopefully can get a little more interest you know, some more of that stuff can happen.
But I do know when it comes to the track programs that, you know, those personal records and state records and program records, they all know those things.
Oh yeah, that has a little weight to the track folks. That's definitely an important thing. And you know, it's really kind of a what we all try to do, right? You just show up, and this is where we are when we show up, and we want to work hard all season so that we can get better. And if I keep getting a PR every couple of weeks, that just shows that my work's paying off. So paid off for them.
You want to be better than you were.
That's right. You want to be better than when you started and make good progress and give yourself a chance to compete. And I think most of our kids have done that. And in all of our sports, really. I mean, it's if you look at all of our sports and you kind of go, you know, wins and losses come and go. And, you know, a lot of times when you're competing, obviously your competition has a lot to say about whether you win or lose. But our kids compete, and they're good kids, and they work hard, and they play with class, and that's kind of what I look for when I'm watching them.
Yeah, I remember mentioning that during baseball season, during a broadcast here on WPKY, we were talking about everybody wants to win, but sometimes the biggest obstacle is the other team.
yeah, definitely is sometimes, for sure. And, you know, your opponent always has a say, so you just try to, you know, the old cliche, you control what you can control, but sometimes those cliches are true.
Yeah. We're talking this morning with Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley. We need to get to a timeout here on the Sideline Report, but we'll come back and have more right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Tune out all those funny car insurance ads and tune in to Erie Insurance. It's seriously good. Ask about Erie Rate Lock and other great reasons to switch. Call Goodwin Insurance of Katy's for a quote today, 270-522-5700.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast. We have an overnight low of 55 and partly cloudy skies. By this afternoon, it's going to be sunny with a high near 81. Thursday night, mostly clear skies, low around 52. And then we close our work week Friday with beautiful sunny skies, high of 82. And Friday night, clear skies, low around 54. But back to right now, an overnight low of 55 degrees. And by this afternoon, sunny and 81.
Hi, I'm Rachel Chandler with Farmers Bank. Did you know your money can make more money when you level up to an interest-bearing checking account? Grow your balance at Farmers Bank with our Unique Plus checking account featuring a 2.5% annual percentage yield on balances up to $15,000. Unique Plus is a win-win local banking option. Call or visit us today and let our expert bankers show you how to get the most out of your deposits. Farmers Bank. Live unique. Bank unique. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Today's society is dependent on electricity. The Princeton Electric Plant Board has what you demand for electricity anywhere, anytime, at the required level of quality. They work to ensure our community's power system has the resources in place for reliability today and into the future. Their work and commitment has reduced the frequency and duration of power outages with a reliability rate of 99.9%. Princeton Electric Plant Board, bringing our customers safe and reliable energy.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580-103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning. Caldwell County High School Athletic Director Jeff Riley in the studio with us. And we've talked about last year, but looking ahead, where are plans for fall sports? And I'm sure you guys are already deep into getting things ready for the next season.
Yeah, it's just a transition time. You know, we've got a little transition. You know, we have a new head football coach, so that'll be kind of the see how that goes. So that work is underway. He's off doing principal stuff this morning. The kids are out there getting ready, but schedules are in place. So it's just kind of a matter of, you know, getting through each day. And this is where we are, and it's where we need to be. I think probably with You know, volleyball, I think they come in an open gym last night. I think Coach Courtner's kind of got the girls in, and they're starting to get a little work in, and they're planning a youth camp later in the next couple weeks. And, you know, they're doing their thing, so they'll get heated back up. And, you know, the soccer teams are both working out. Coach Miller and Coach Reed have got those guys out there and ladies out there working hard. And, you know, they're getting their morning workouts in, and they've got plans for camps and things of that nature. So it's just kind of the – it's a little bit of a transition time because we don't have anything going on the field right now, but it's really – just it's, you know, it's June, it's middle of June, so it's time. This is where you're supposed to be. So all the schedules and stuff are in, because the coaches do most of that. So it's just, you know, this is the date, and what do we need to be done on this date? So,
well, the first football scrimmage is what, August 4th. So you're less than 2 months away, and I think golf starts before that, right?
So. Yeah, golf starts really early. I think they can start competing around the middle of August. So I'd have to go back and look at the dates for sure. I don't do a good job of retaining all the dates. I always have to go look. But yeah, golf's definitely one that they get an early start. Of course, they stop a little sooner than everybody else because of weather and things of that nature. But yeah, it's probably less than 6 weeks away of really kicking it off. So.
Well, you mentioned a new football head coach, but at the same time, he's an old football coach.
Yeah, well, he's got a new title, but he's not new to us. So Coach McClung will do a good job. You know, we're excited to have him. He's transitioning out of his principal job and into the board office stuff. So, you know, there'll be a couple differences because his day job is going to be a little different. So after the dead period, we'll have to transition to practicing in the afternoons. But you know, that'll be an adjustment we have to make. But we're all willing to do that. So. That won't be that big a deal. He brings, you know, 20 odd years of coaching experience. He's coached on both sides of the ball. He's coached at every level. So, you know, having a familiar face in there that we all kind of know what we're going to get, and you know, we all can work together. We've been working together for a long time. We've added a coach, Stephen Wood, to the mix. So he's coming to us from Hopkins Central. So we're excited to add him as a new face. So there may be some other small changes in the staff, but you know, they're out there working out today. So Coach Mack and Coach Stallings and Coach Wood have the guys. They're going to get a little workout in here this morning. Be done about 10 or 11 o'clock, and then, you know, we'll bring them back in Monday morning. So about three times a week. So,
what are some things that you do as the AD that maybe the average person wouldn't realize? I mean, a lot of the behind the scenes stuff.
The AD is so exciting. So last week I spent most of my time going through physicals and pulling out stuff. Then the KHSAA changed the physical form. So I went through all of our on-file physicals. So I asked Coach Vic to bring me some physical stuff to go through. And then to this week has been getting going through the budgets everybody has and their fundraiser reports and making sure those are right for Miss Whalen whenever the so we make sure that our Red Book stuff is up to date and correct. So that exciting the exciting work of physicals and accounting.
Well, and during the season, you guys have to make sure that everyone's roster is correct and that everyone is eligible that's on that roster.
Oh yeah, that's I tell you what, other than kind of making sure the money's right, that makes me nervous because it's so easy to kind of let one of those things slip, and when you do, it's a public nightmare, and you cost your kids opportunities to compete. So yes, we have to stay on top of rosters and make sure grades are right and make sure kids are eligible and make sure that they live in the right location and all the paperwork is done. And basically it's just kind of making sure you're following the rules and knowing what those rules are and trying to get them squared away. So it can be a tedious thing.
One cool thing you guys added last year, and I'm not sure if everybody knows this or not, but the lions on the football field are now painted by a robot.
Yeah, that is really cool, especially for football coaches. It's super cool for us. But no, that's just another investment that our Board of Education has made and Dr. Roach has made in trying to make our athletics as good as it can be and as good a place to be for us. I mean, of course, Bruce Farmer took care of that for years and did a tremendous job. And, you know, when Bruce got out of the school system and he's, you know, moved on to do other things, and we're kind of like, okay, what are we going to do about the fields? And then just so happened the technology is available. And once they look at the technology, the investment in the technology based on what it would cost and, you know, really what they were paying Bruce, it's really, you know, as far as manpower and the hours spent, it's really a pretty good investment. So, you know, Brody takes care of that for us. And he's the operator of robot that they've nicknamed Bruce, and so Bruce is still painting the fields, just in a different aspect, I guess.
And not just football, but it does soccer and baseball and soccer.
Oh yeah, it's an amazing thing. You go up there and sit, because sometimes I'll just stop in the lunchroom and watch it just work across, but it'll paint anything. Paint the track field, so anything that you can put on grass that you can program in and lay out, what that thing on GPS and triangulate it, and it'll paint it. It'll lay a line. So
yeah, that's pretty neat.
It is really. It's, I don't know, it's kind of neat, but then you start expanding, it gets a little scary if you've ever seen The Terminator or something like that.
Well, and it can even paint like designs and logos and stuff like
that.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. It can put lettering in the end zone. It could, if we wanted to design a logo and put it in there, obviously that takes more paint, so you got to invest in the paint for that. But, yes, it can do just about anything you want it to. So it's really a cool machine, and we're very grateful to have that because it saves us football coaches from having to stay out there. And I'm sure if Coach Gates and DT are listening, they wish they had one instead of having to spend the hours that they spent, you know, laying lines and running paint.
Well, I appreciate you coming in this morning and talking with us, and fall sports will be here before you know it.
Yes, it will. So, you know, I would like to take an opportunity to thank everybody who supports us. And obviously, it takes a village to run a sports team, and our community is terrific in helping us out. And, you know, every sports team we have has a support system that's beyond our school district. And so the community support is vital for us to run and even to be able to compete and put teams on the field. So everybody that had a hand in that, is a heartfelt thank you. And hopefully we can kind of keep putting a good product out there and go try to compete and win as many games as we can.
Yeah, good luck in the fall.
Yeah, thanks, man.
That's Jeff Riley, Caldwell County High School Athletic Director. Appreciate him coming in this morning. Also, thanks once again to Dave Winder from Murray State University for joining us today here on the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.